Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
We reduced our butter price forecast by a penny a pound, $2.99 per pound. But other than butter, for 2024, all of our other main component dairy prices were raised this month, and the class prices were all raised as well.
World Ag Outlook Board Chair Dr. Mark Jackanowski on price forecast.
And all milk price reflects the class prices. So our 2024 all milk price was raised by 5 cents per hundredweight, now forecast at $22.30 per hundredweight. And we expect the strength to continue into the next calendar year in 2025, so where we have the all milk price at $22.75 per hundredweight. And that would be up 45 cents year over year.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
USDA out on Friday with their cattle on feed report. The numbers for on feed slightly above last year at the same time, 11.1 million head. It was for the most part right in line with trade expectations. For placements, 1.7 million head was above trade guesses and 6% higher year over year. Marketings, 1.86 million head, that was up 8% year over year, but was off of the trade guess, and then disappearance, 56,000 head, which was 14% lower than the year-on-year number. Again, USDA's cattle on feed report released on Friday after the close. CME FedWatch is projecting whether or not the Federal Reserve will have a rate cut coming up on September 18th. At this point, of those surveyed, 100% believe a quarter point cut is on the way. A third believe we'll find a half point cut from the Fed on September 18th. That comes as the U.S. dollar is trading at its lowest level since last December. Pro Farmer Crop Tour wrapped up last week as analysts believe corn will yield 181.1 bushels per acre and soybeans at 54.9. In corn news, ethanol prices remain steady except in South Dakota, where they're up to $1.67 per gallon. That's up from $1.64 per gallon last week. However, the national average falls a half penny from 182 to 181 and a quarter. Now, relative strength index in wheat. We're in oversold territory, report some analysts. After finding new lows on Friday, December's Chicago wheat contracts have continued to be under pressure. Now, Fed cattle trade was lower last week with feeder cattle and stockers lower. Texas and Kansas reporting sales at 183, 184 in the north, and dressed at 293. National average base hog price was $80.76 last week, down $2.60. The CME lean hog index, 88.83, down 38 cents. But pork cutout, according to USDA, 99.05, up $2.62. And what's the correlation between oil and gold prices? Analysts at Bernstein looking at the past 60 years and say the average is 19 barrels per ounce. Been wide fluctuations, less than 10 barrels in the 70s and early 2000, and more than 30 barrels in economic depressions and in financial panic. Today, though, we trade 31 barrels per ounce. And the analysts say there are three options. Number one, oil goes to $1.25 a barrel. Number two, gold goes to $1,600 an ounce, or gold drops to $2,000 and oil goes up to $100 per barrel. Either way, gold generally appreciates when the Fed cuts rates. It's Agriculture Today.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Just talking about our national security, and that's one of those issues that I think a lot of Americans need to stop and pause for a minute and really realize the threats that we have and the insecurities that we have.
At a recent town hall meeting in St. Clair Shores, Michigan, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem.
I'm a farmer and a rancher and have spent my life, you know, raising food to feed this country and to feed the world. We had a very large operation when I was younger. My dad was killed in an accident when I was young, and I ended up quitting college and taking over our businesses. But I've worked on food policy for 30 years, and I watched over those last 30 years as China systematically came in. And first they started buying up our chemical companies in the United States. Then they started buying up our seed and fertilizer companies. Then we saw America, for a period of time, embrace selling citizenship to the United States for investment in our processing facilities. The vast majority of our processing facilities and meatpacking plants are owned by Chinese companies now, and people that are affiliated with the CCP. Now we have seen them come in. They've manipulated their currency. They've stolen our genetics and our IP. And now we're watching them buy our land and completing that full circle of our food production in the United States. China has had a 1,000 years plan for world domination. They've been trying to take out the United States of America for hundreds of years. For the last 200 years, we have been a threat to them ever since we were established, because we were so different in the experiment that our founders gave us. They gave us the most wonderful experiment in the history of the world by giving us this republic. And it was so different. And China has seen us as we rose to be the world's power as a threat to them. And they have a long-term plan to take us out, and they will make their people suffer in order to get that plan complete. If we think a pandemic was scary, wait until they control our food supply. And wait until you go to the grocery store and you realize you can't get food to feed your family because China's decided that you can't get your food. Did you know that they own quite a bit of our ports in the United States? The LA port that you hear Newsom bragging about all the time? It's 90% owned by Chinese companies and Chinese officials. They have started hoarding their shipping containers in China. Everything in this world that gets shipped across the ocean goes in a shipping container, doesn't it? Why do you think that they're keeping the shipping containers so that we don't have access to them?
Tudor Dixon is a podcaster and former Michigan gubernatorial candidate.
I have a little bit different experience than the governor because I come from the manufacturing world. So I saw it from what they did to the manufacturing world. And I saw foundry after foundry after foundry close because the Chinese were coming in offering the lowest prices, and they were pirating all, same thing, stealing our technology. And I will tell you today, there are not many people who come out of college and say, I would love to start a steel foundry. It's kind of a generational thing, sort of something that gets passed down, same as farms. When people come out of college, they don't say, man, I'd really like to start up a big dairy farm. Just doesn't happen today. They are generational businesses that get passed down from family to family, from father to son, from mother to daughter. These, once they're gone, they don't come back. No one starts them up again. And so when you hear her talking about food security and making sure that we have enough food to feed this country, what do you think the Chinese are doing buying up our land? They're weakening us. And a weak America cannot protect ourselves from a Chinese takeover. These are serious subjects. We're here, folks. The people who think this is way out in the future, this 100-year plan of China, we're on year like 85. They've already gotten this far. They have the largest navy in the world. A lot of people don't know that. China is very powerful.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Agriculture Today.
In China, Sam's Club is one of the leading retail outlets for high-quality beef and pork. With support from the Beef Checkoff Program and the National Pork Board, the U.S. Meat Export Federation recently brought a team of Sam's Club buyers from China to South Korea to learn about new packaging and merchandising techniques, both for beef and pork cuts, as well as value-added items in the home meal replacement category. Jihei Yang, USMEF Vice President for the Asia Pacific, has more details.
The purpose of inviting the Sam's Club buyers to Korea is to show the advanced supply chain system as well as the merchandising technique and the new packaging method. So we took them to visit a couple of the leading retail stores to show how the Korean retailers are merchandising U.S. chilled beef, including the Korean-style barbecue and the steak items, thick-cut steak, and show many different type of home meal replacement, HMR product utilizing U.S. beef and pork.
The Sam's Club buyers also heard from a leading importer on how to efficiently move product into retail channels.
Sam's Club is very much interested in home meal replacement item and the case-ready item. So the purpose of the visit to Korean market is to learn about the new trend and good opportunity for them to learn about the application, the new application of the U.S. meat ingredient for their home meal replacement product. And I also invited one of the key importer who supply to the Korean retail chain so we can learn about how we can establish or how we can improve the supply chain in China market.
While beef export volume was down slightly in June, exports of U.S. beef hit the highest value in nearly 2 years. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom has the details.
We're $938 million exported in the month of June, which is up 3% off of a pretty big number from a year ago. I look at individual countries, and one that stands out that's really welcome to see now 2 months in a row is Japan. Japan was up 8% on volume and up 9% on value, $182 million a month. And considering all the headwinds that Japan has had the last year or so, it's really encouraging to see this rebound. And specifically, I have to think that some of this rebound is coming from the food service sector. So Japan is one highlight. I think another one is, while it was down a little bit, it was off a relatively high number. It was Mexico. As you know, year to date, Mexico is up 13% on volume, 19% on value. So Mexico, for the year, through 6 months, two quarters, is looking pretty strong. We saw significant growth in the value for exports per head slaughtered, $459 per head in June, up over $50 a head compared to a year ago.
June pork exports were lower year over year, but shipments for the first half of the year remained ahead of 2023's record value pace, and key market Korea posted a big month.
Korea continues to perform on the pork side, 20% growth year on year for the month of June on volume, 30% growth on value, and the year-to-date numbers through 6 months at 135,000 tons, 33% growth through June, and on the value side, 38% growth at $460 million. So Korea, without a doubt, is really one of the markets, in addition to Mexico, that's really driving the ship so far this year.
I'm John Harith.
It's Agriculture Today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The August cattle on feed report came out, and you know, the pre-report estimates were for placements to be up somewhat. The average guess was 104% of last year. It actually came in about 106%. So there's a chance that the market will treat that as a little bit bearish. It was kind of on the upper end of the range of expectations there.
Oklahoma State livestock economist Dr. Darrell Peel.
Marketings came in pretty much as expected, about 108% of last year. The on-feed inventory is virtually unchanged from a year ago, just a few head bigger, so rounds to 100% of last year, which is where we've been for the last 3 months. We've been tracking last year's levels pretty closely through this thing. The placement number could be viewed a little bit bearish. One of the things you have to keep in mind is that, and we probably talked about this a month ago, or somebody did, that last month there were two less business days in the month compared to the previous year. This month we make up for it. We have two extra business days in the month compared to a year ago. So when you look at both the placements and marketings to some extent, although especially the marketings number, you have to adjust it really for the days on or the business days in the month. And so the marketing's rate was actually probably just about equal to a year ago, or perhaps just slightly less. With that 8% increase, that's about equivalent to two extra days of work in the month.
But we move from the cattle on feed report to the potential for grazing wheat this winter?
You know, there's always interest in grazing wheat in the fall. I mean, producers worry first about if you're interested in forage, getting wheat in late summer. It's always kind of a race in the summer versus summer temperatures, soil moisture conditions. But I can say that as I drove to northwest Oklahoma yesterday, saw an awful lot of farming going on, anhydrous being applied to fields in anticipation of planting. So I think producers are clearly thinking about planting. And at this time of the year, that means they're interested in grazing. We wouldn't be planting, until October probably if we were only interested in grain. So there was a lot of work being done. Now, are we going to have wheat pasture? It's still too early to tell. You know, we're kind of borderline dry, so we'll see how the wheat gets in, gets up, and whether we get follow-up rains that will continue to provide development of that wheat so that we have forage later in the year. And then later, there's the question of what do the stocker economics look like? We'll have to visit that later when we get into it and actually look at the numbers as we get a little deeper into the fall.
We've seen a couple of days with lower trade. So what is the overall sentiment for producers?
You know, for the most part, I think producers are pretty happy with things. You know, we've had better forage conditions this year for the most part. Obviously, prices have generally been good unless you got caught in one of these shocks. But for the most part, and prices even at current levels are still at or above year-ago levels. So, you know, it's not like we've got bad markets, just a little bit of a setback recently. I think producers are happy. But again, they've been very cautious relative to how aggressive they're going to be going forward. And I think it's probably a very wise approach because of, concerns about how long this market will remain strong, concerns about the cost of financing herd rebuilding, concerns about potential drought redevelopment, all kinds of factors really serve to temper enthusiasm. So we're taking advantage of selling what we have now, but I don't know that we're really getting very aggressive about trying to change the level of production in this industry at this point in time.
Dr. Darrell Peel, Oklahoma State Livestock Economist. It's Agriculture Today.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
This is what I wish. We live in a country that's addicted to being offended.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem at a town hall meeting in St. Clair Shores, Michigan.
Don't we all just love to be offended by each other? Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they said that. It's horrible. I'm so offended. And they quit talking to each other. And she's really good at offending people because I think she tries to do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Like some of the things that she says and does, some people do it without really realizing it. But I had a pastor years ago say something to me that, Kristi, people are going to throw offenses out at you all the time. But you're the one who decides if you want to pick it up and carry it around with you. And then you're the one who's carrying the burden. So you have the opportunity every day to just make a decision. That when people offend you, and politics does it, it really does. And some of the things she said offended me. So I've got to take my own sermon here. But we have the chance to, when people offend us and we're talking to them about this election and when they're talking about President Trump versus Vice President Harris, that they're going to say things to us and we're going to have to decide not to be offended and to keep the relationship. To keep the relationship. Because I truly believe we tell our kids and our high schoolers and our college students that your education is the most important thing for your life. Your education is, or where you grew up is the most important thing. And I just disagree. I think the most important thing in your life is relationships.
Yeah.
The relationships that you have in your life will determine the opportunities that you get, what you learn from each other, maybe the person that you meet at that meeting or you have a conversation with at that gas station is somebody that will change your life forever. Words have consequences. Words have power. How many of you have somebody that said something to you at some point in life that you still remember today? An offhanded comment, something they said, but it changed the way you thought about yourself or it changed your perspective. So remember that your words have power. And when you leave here, and you speak, choose not to be offended by political conversations you're having with people. Choose instead to recognize that the words that you speak will impact somebody and try to speak different words that change their perspective. Help them think about this election different than they had before. Have them at a grocery store start talking about the price of pickles. Do something like that. That's what I go a couple of times a month and just run a checkout line at a grocery store. I did that when I was in college, but it is the most eye-opening experience anybody could have. And I would say every elected official should just go do it. They will let you do it because they can't hire enough people who want to run checkout lines at grocery stores. And now nobody can count money anymore. But you will be shocked. I bet 2 out of 5 people that come through the checkout line, they get to where the total comes and they don't have enough money. And they have to sit there and decide what they're going to put back. And it's amazing to me the amount of people that don't have enough money to get their groceries anymore. Or they come through with 10 or 15 items and they're like, but I got this last month and I had enough money. This month I don't. And they're trying to decide, should they put back the mustard or the olives? And they wrestle with it. And then they decide they're going to go put it back. I had a mom the other day tell me I saw her in a Walmart. And she told me she was trying to decide if she could buy her 10-year-old son the backpack or the new shoes he wanted for school. This year she couldn't get both of them. And that's the discussion families are having. So we need to let them know that it's the policies of the leaders that are deciding what those costs are. The reason that families can't buy a home anymore is because somebody in power made a decision that drove up interest rates, put more debt on this country, crippled our economy. Your gas costs more because somebody in Washington, D.C. decided that it was more important to outsource our energy rather than to rely on ourselves. Those are all conversations you can have in your day-to-day life with people who aren't used to talking about that with somebody.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Agriculture Today.
Global cotton production. Again, the U.S. is the biggest change there in terms of the major global producers.
Chairman of USDA's World Ag Outlook Board is Dr. Mark Jackanowski.
Otherwise, India... reduced 500,000 bales, reflecting government data. That's mainly an area story there. And also African franc zone, that's also lower area. Global cotton balance sheet. Main thing, I put up the back year. Main thing to work worth noting there, we made a multi-year revision in China's production going back a few years, basically reflecting the production outside of Xinjiang. Indeed, there's lower production outside of Xinjiang than we've been assuming. And that is showing up in lower production and a little bit tighter ending stocks in China. And that goes back a few years and then carries into the new crop year as well. Speaking of the new crop year, consumption reduced 1 million bales. That is primarily reduced consumption of China. Trade reduced 1.1 million bales. Worth noting that China recently lowered their import quota, so we're gonna, you know, that's gonna be reflected in lower imports by China. And also, you'll see later we reduced our U.S. export forecast as well. China ending stocks reduced by 3.9 million bales, and that is pretty much in line with what a lot of other analysts are saying as well. U.S. balance sheet for the old crop, 2023-2024. Raised exports a bit there. That is mainly just reflecting recent data. There was a revision in some of the export data due to some late reporting, so we incorporated that. So that raised our old crop export forecast and along with some changes in the residual. Ends up with a small increase in ending stocks, combined with the relatively large reduction in U.S. production from the mass reports this morning, almost 1.9 million bale reduction in U.S. production. Reduced exports by 1 million bales, reflecting both that smaller crop. So relatively tighter U.S. supplies, along with lower global trade and reduced global demand. And the result is ending stocks for cotton tightening up by about 800,000 bales. Season average market price dropped again this month, down 2 cents per pound. Again, just reflecting recent futures prices and in the current outlook.
A somewhat bearish picture for cotton, but can we find optimism?
You can through Representative Randy Feenstra from Iowa.
I am optimistic that we will find solutions. I just think, especially our producers, they're resilient. I continue to worry, obviously, about our commodity prices, but here's the deal. I think we will work together and we'll get this passed. And maybe it will happen in November, December when we come back and lame duck. But everybody knows that we are the breadbasket to the world, and we don't have a choice. We got to get it done.
Feenstra, member of the House Ag Committee. It's Agriculture Today.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Lower production, higher prices. The summary of USDA's dairy forecast for August. This is World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekinowski, starting with milk production.
We reduced our production forecast for both 2024 and 2025. We still expect year-over-year growth, so 2025 production will exceed this year's production by about 1.8 billion pounds.
Tighter cow inventories, restraints on some heifer supplies, and reduction of milk per cow due to heat stress are behind month-over-month reductions in both years.
Prices this month higher for the most part. A little bit of a weakness in butter prices recently for this year, so we reduced our butter price forecast by a penny a pound.
Increases in class prices led to higher all milk prices for both years, up a nickel at $22.30 a pound this year, up a quarter at $22.75 a pound for 2025. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.